No pressure. Thank you for showing your true self. So my family knows exactly what it's like every week. Great job, Caleb. That was Jesus paid it all. Well done. So I have a difficult time when it comes to speaking on a holiday. Because you feel grateful, but not just thankfulness for moms, but thankfulness of moms. We'll talk about that this morning. We'll talk about just being thankful in general as Christians in our walk. And we'll look at some examples from Scripture. So I guess if you can call it a main text, later on I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1 if you want to get ready for that later. So this is about thankfulness. We'll start off with thankfulness for moms. We should all be thankful for our mothers. The other day I was walking through the family room. My wife and kids were watching The Voice. They were interviewing contestants as I was passing through the room, and they were asking them about their moms because Mother's Day is coming up. And the one girl was saying something along the lines of, "I love her because it's so rare in life to find someone who will always believe in you and never give up on you." Me, being my cynical self, said, "It's not that rare, it's called a mom." I mean, we've all got one, right? It's not that rare. But it's true. God has blessed us with our moms who love and care for us, who put in countless, innumerable hours of work, a love that is shown through doing, through actions, not just words, through caring in a real and practical way. Nobody cares for their kids like their mom does. With dads, sure, we care, we'll look after them. Chances are pretty good that they'll survive. But let's just say we take a different approach. Moms really make the family home work. They often help keep us organized, remembering important dates and scheduling, for example. Owen noticed this about stories of Santa Claus and asked, "Why is Mrs. Claus the boss of Santa?" On a completely unrelated note, another time Owen asked me what my last name was before I got married. I think he has that figured out now. I think. But if dads are the head of the family, then moms are the heart, the center. My Aunt Lynn has a sign up at her place in her washroom on the main floor that says, "A house is not a home unless it has a cat." Well, I think moms trump cats any day. You can quote me on that. I'm being a bit funny, but it is true. God has made mothers so essential to the family home and has put with them, the love, caring, and commitment to do all that God created them to be. But the traditional family home is under attack today. It's more and more rare to have both mom and dad and kids staying together in the same house. We're also under attack via identity politics today. You can't turn on the TV without somebody trying to put you in some group or another and trying to foment a conflict between the various groups. Media seems to be constantly sowing discord between men and women, even within the same household generations, and talk about the differences. But in the church, we have a reprieve, or hopefully we do have a reprieve from the views of the world. Thankfully, we're still free to believe the word of God and to quote from it, despite the views of some in the world that it is politically incorrect to do so, for example. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 say, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." So it is Mother's Day, and we want to honor our moms and thank them for all that they do. Some of us no longer have our moms with us. Some listening may not have known their biological mom, but have an adoptive mom who is much as a mom to them as if they were their biological mom. But in the church, we are a family. In the spiritual sense, which is a very real thing in itself. Some people think if it's spiritual, that's kind of just an allegory or picture, but it's very real. But not just in a spiritual sense are we a family, but also in a practical way. Jesus very plainly said this in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. It said, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, it's from his word. So we need to be studying and learning from the word and continuing to read it and not neglecting it. So now I'm going to move on. Son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, being Peninnah, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? The answer is no. And remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to be drunken. Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Notice this, she put her petition before the Lord, and she trusted him, and she decided, I'm not going to be sad anymore about this, it's in the Lord's hands. She's trusting in the Lord. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do it. She took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. Well, Hannah was in a tough spot, always comparing herself to Peninnah. God did not intend for a man to have more than one wife, and that was a lot of the problem here. But countless women have struggled with not being able to have children. And every one of us is susceptible to playing the comparison game and being envious of one another or coveting or having one-upmanship or keeping up with the Joneses and envying what other people have. Like Hannah, to bring our request to him and then to trust him for the outcome, for his desired outcome, what is best for us, not what we think should happen. God expects us to rely on him and to trust in him. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," notice, "let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then we move on to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we see a display of Hannah's thankfulness to the Lord for granting her request. You won't find the word thank you, but this is her praising the Lord in thanks to him. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust on them. He will keep the feet of his saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Think of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. The Lord. That probably wasn't easy for her, but she decided in advance that she would keep her word and trust God. Later on in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we read, but in verse 18, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." So God blessed Hannah with more children after that. But to get there, she went through a lot of grief, a lot of trial. She grew in her faith and learned to trust in the Lord and saw him come through. But God wants us to be thankful to him in all circumstances. He wants us to trust him. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Moving on to the next topic this morning concerning mothers. Let me ask you, is Jerusalem your mother? Is Jerusalem your mother? Well, let's read in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 31. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar," as in Hagar. "For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. This morning that we are under grace and not under the law. The heavenly Jerusalem is our mother, and that it was great that that came up this morning, reading from Revelation, when the new Jerusalem come down from heaven. That is the heaven that is our mother in the faith today. The heavenly Jerusalem is our mother, not the current earthly Jerusalem of the law. We are the children of promise because we believe in God's promises, just how God intended. And now I want to speak about just thankfulness in general. And this goes for everyone, moms and everybody else too. We need to maintain a mind of thankfulness. It is good for us to do so. It is good for our spiritual health. Paul was a very good example of this. I'll read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And he's writing to the Colossians, and he says, "We give thanks. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God and truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. For this church, for the individual members that made it up, his thankfulness was tied to his care and concern for them, his praying for them. Thankfulness also gives a renewed appreciation for what God has done for us. It is no small thing what he's done, and he should always be praised and thanked for that. And we did that again this morning in our first service of remembrance. Thankfulness is also associated with peace in Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. It says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." An attitude of thankfulness helps us stay on the path of righteousness and behaviors associated with God's ways. Thankfulness helps us to let go and let God. He will work things out. He is in control. With that in mind, it is easier to be merciful, kind, humble, meek, long-suffering, forgiving, and loving. A mind that is thankful is also a mind that is content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 8. "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and stripes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be therewith content. Godliness is not about gain, it is about being content. I think it would be difficult, if not impossible, for someone to be truly godly, not just in appearance, and yet not be content. Well, what happens if we're not thankful? What are the problems with being unthankful? Thankfulness leads to contentment, but what does being unthankful lead to? Well, it is not good. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 23, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." And highlighting this part, "neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts." You look to yourself, I think, is what happens. We saw thankfulness associated with peace earlier. A lack of contentment can also lead to bitterness. Sometimes we're in circumstances we don't like, perhaps because God is chastening us, or children, maybe parents are chastening you for your benefit. The right thing to do is to endure it and correct the behavior. God wants what is best for us. And kids, your mom and dad want is what is best for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11, I guess, to 15. "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Don't become bitter. It leads to worse things. Being unthankful is associated with a whole host of bad behaviors that are listed in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll read verses 1 through 5. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." We're living in those last days right now. All of those behaviors are not rare in society today. They're now the norm, not the exception. But there's still a chance for them to turn things around with God's help. Maybe somebody listening to this message recognizes some of these behaviors within themselves if they're being honest. Even believers too, if they're allowing flesh to rule them. It is not too late to repent of your sin. We have all violated God's law. We all start with Mount Sinai or Hagar as our mother, or earthly Jerusalem in the allegory we read about earlier. And the future is not bright for anyone in that family because nobody can keep the law 100%. We're all guilty. Accept God's free gift. Become adopted into God's family. Accept the free gift of salvation through his Son. All the legal requirements have already been met and signed in blood by our Lord Jesus Christ. All your sin, all your violations have been paid for at the cross of Calvary. All you have to do is repent of your sin and believe God and accept his free gift. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 11 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." But for those of us who are of the faith, how shall we treat those who are ungrateful, who are unthankful, and all those bad behaviors that we read about? Luke chapter 6, verse 35. "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Moms really know about this, I think. Often I think moms get taken for granted, and yet they continue kindness to their children. We need to see people in our lives, everyone that we interact with in our lives, the way that God sees them, as someone that God cares about, despite their deeds and circumstances, and to see them as children or potential children of God. So let's give thanks for the moms in your life, and for the moms and all of us, let's give thanks to God no matter the circumstance. He is in control. And let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this little assembly and for the fellowship that we have with one another. We're thankful for our moms, Lord. And often we do take them for granted, and forgive us for that. We thank you for your many blessings that you've blessed us through them. And we ask, Lord, help us to be thankful to you no matter our circumstances. Despite the difficult times, and it can be years we're waiting for an answer to prayer or for something to change. But Lord, help us to trust in you and to leave it in your hands and to continue on in the faith and to be faithful to you, Lord. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So it being Mother's Day, one of our traditions is to hand out flowers to the ladies, and then I'll ask the kids to come up and do that now. Thank you.